I started off in the words we left off yesterday. So we'll say left off last year, a long time in last year. Left off last year that there is a principle for sure in the Sefer and quite possibly in the Rambam as well, that a person makes a statement and it's an incriminating statement. So for example, a woman says she's married, but the person says he's not the rightful owner of this property. And then they want to backpedal a little bit. They want to say, no, well, the reason what I said was for the following X, Y, and Z, but that's not really what I meant, and really, really, really such and such. What kind of joke is that? It means if the halacha accepts what you said, it accepts it. So the Gemara explains, no, that if a person has what's called an amasla. Amasla means an explanation, a logical, coherent reason as to why he said such and such. So we're going to basically retract on what he said. So the Gemara has that explicitly in the realm of the Sefer. That was the case of the Eish HaSish, that the young lady who walked around town telling everyone that she was already married and still married. And then all of a sudden, a week later, she's going on a date with somebody. What happened? So she explains, I didn't really mean that I was married. I meant that people were bothering me with not such great shidduchim prospects. I figured the best way to get the shadchan off my neck is to say I'm married. So the Beis Din listens to it. And they say, makes sense. It's a wild, wild west of shidduchim. Makes sense. It's a crazy world. People do a lot of silly things. Okay. So we're not advocating such behavior, such comments, but we can explain it. We can understand it. So there is such a concept of being crazy aydeh maslam. So come to Rishonim. And now put a significant break on this halacha of a masla. And again, this is started out as a Yoredeya topic, became a Chashim Mishpat topic, Rasmul Basra. Now we're going back to Yoredeya for a moment. So let's take a look at the seventh of the Mar Mekomos with the Tur Nuchos Mida quotes the name of the Ramban. Seventh of the Mar Mekomos, second line at the top. Kazaba Ramban, Chosaka Nida Bishchino Seha. What if it is already established that this woman is a Nida? Everybody knows she's a Nida. All her neighbors know she's a Nida. Now, how in the world do the neighbors know? What business does anybody know she's a Nida? So the answer is, bizman hazeh, it's nobody's business. But in the olden days, it actually was almost in a sense everybody's business. What changed from bizman hazeh to the olden days? Tumah v'tahara, very simple. Tumah v'tahara. In the olden days, there were halachas that governed tumah v'tahara. It was important for everybody to know who was tummy, who wasn't tummy. Because if you touch something, the food's going to become tummy. If you're a kohen, the truma become tummy. The mitzvah shem become, you can't go to Beis HaMikdash. So it was common knowledge, basically, who was tummy, who wasn't tummy. And believe it or not, it wasn't. There was no quote unquote stigma. Not that there's a stigma today either. No stigma. I'm saying that negativity, that you know, privacy, that modesty angle of it, just. That was just the reality. That was the reality of the world. The Tumah V'Tahara, just people know.
The Ethiopian Jews had a hut.
Oh, excellent. Very excellent. So we didn't have a hut. We have a similar thing. It's called Big Day Nidus. In the olden days, the women would actually wear different clothing when they were Nidus for that very reason, that to make sure that somebody wouldn't become tummy by mistake by coming in contact with them. So comes the Ramban and says that if you have a situation where it's the people know already that she's a Nidah, she's wearing those big day Nidahs, she's wearing those clothing of Nidahs. And then tomorrow she comes and she says, oh, by the way, I was just kidding. The reason why I got dressed up as a Nidah, the reason why the whole world knows I'm a Nidah, I wasn't feeling well last night. I didn't want my husband to be insulted. So I told him I was a Nidah, I put on the clothing, I told the whole world that I'm a Nidah. So comes Ramban and says, wait a second, says the Ramban. A feel no sense a masla barel. Even if she gives it a masla, she explains why Shomeris. Lo labash ti begadim elu elish lo tatri deini. Akshav kilo yisi bria. She says that I wasn't feeling so well. Ain't it a menace? Okay. So she's not believed to give it a masla because she didn't actually because she wore the clothing. What's a loma? So the Torah just explains what the Ramban is driving at. Kaven Shara'inua Loveshas Big Day Nidusa, that since we saw that she's wearing this clothing, Abekiilu Ra'inu Sharosa, it's as if we know for a fact that she did become a Nida. Shaz in the Lora Isi. Let's say we're standing in the scenario that the doctor is watching, she's becoming a Nida. He sees physically she's becoming a Nida. Well, she's gonna say, no, I'm not really a Nida. He knows it. So if we see her wearing those clothing, that's tantamount to us knowing for a fact that she is Anida and all our Amasas in the world are going to fall by the wayside. That's what the Ramban said. So comes Ramban and basically giving us two different categories in terms of establishing whether she's Anida. If she says it on her own, and we're not privy to any information, we don't have any mises, so to speak, it's just her word, easy come, easy go. If she gave her word and she told her husband, I'm Anida, and then tomorrow she says, the reason why I said that was I wasn't feeling well, so she can give it a masla and undermine what she said yesterday. But once it's reached the point of love, she a big day need us, once it's reached the point of chosuk, I need to be, the game is over. So the tour has one word about this Ramban. It says, the tema. It's a wonder. What's the tema? He explains a little bit more than one word. The tema. V'chi odim chosuk, I need to be chenoseh, because she omeris beferish to me'ani. Understand. If she's asked the Torah, she says, Pemole to the husband, to me, I am a surah, I am an Anida, and then an hour later she can back out. Here, in the case of Huska Anida, she didn't necessarily say anything. All she did was walking around one day in town wearing a big Anida. So then the game's over, says the Rabbi. Says, why is that any worse? Already, I am master. The Gemara says explicitly in Ksubas and the Sechon Tarek that she can back out based on an Amasla. If she can back out based on an Amasla from an explicit statement, so call the Chomer, so to speak, she can back out from something that's simply implied about where the beginning of this. So the Torah throws his hands up and says, you know, what in the world Ramban means. So we're not quite sure yet what Ramban means, but we have reason to believe that the Ramban is correct. Let's take a look back for a moment on the sixth of the Ramban Kamos. On Ksubas, I am Bezim and Aleph. The Yom Rav Yehuda. Chosuka nida b'shchein oseha, ba'ala loka aleha mishum nida. Rav Yehuda tells us on the sixth of the Ramban Kamos that if a woman reaches the point of chosuka nida, now we translated that to mean Lovesha's big denim, that's what Rashi says on the spot in the next Rashi. That means, i.e., the woman has been known, been established, it's a fact that she's a nida. By the local Amishim nida, if the husband then goes ahead and has relations with her, he's going to be Chai Malkus. Now, a person violates his nida, that's in Sikoris also, but all these Sikoris, for the most part, are Chai Malkus as well. So, comes to the Gemara and says, how do you know that a woman is a nida to give Malkus? The answer is, how do we know? We know, because she's, there's an Ethiopian in the hut, and Bavo, you're wearing your big Anita. No, we know it's been established. Everyone knows that she's Anita. So therefore, you're going to be chayav Malkus. So lechora, it's this Gemara that was the source what Ramban said. Ramban would argue, wait a second. We just chuksach need to b'shchein osedah. We just quote unquote establish with absolute certainty, without a shadow of a doubt, that this woman is Anita. She's wearing the big Anitas. Her husband just was born hard, and now we just gave the Malkus. Oh, and then, by the way, tomorrow she's going to say she's going to give us an Amasla. He's like, I wasn't really in Anida. I was just kidding. That undermines the whole system of Malkus. How are you giving somebody Malkus today, and then tomorrow you say, oh, so sorry, we had the facts wrong. So if Chazal already going out on the limb and giving somebody Malkus, that means they must have established that Huchadid Mishchen Al-Sah is certainty beyond, you know, beyond any return. You've reached the point of no return. So comes the Ramban and argues that once your Huska Nidush Chenoseh, the game is over. So there's no retracting, there's no more Amaslas. So it must be that there's a difference in the world of Amaslas between Dibur and Maaseh. So the tour would respond, I'm not really sure why we're giving this person Malkus, but I don't understand the arbitrary distinction between Maaseh versus Dibur. Because it doesn't seem to make any sense. So what is really going on here behind the scenes? On the one hand, the Ramban is very compelling from the din of Huksuk Anida Bailalaikala. Sounds like the game is over. You can't retract anymore. On the other hand, we don't really understand why you can't retract. We don't understand the nature of this halacha. What is it about putting on those clothes, going into the hut, doing some kind of a maisa that somehow stops the show and prevents any further retracting from what you said? What is the lumbus? What is the birata? So in order to understand this, and again, eventually relate back to the Basra, the way to begin to understand this This is the second life. In order to get to a solution, you have to make more, a few more problems. So we have to make this a little bit more complicated. It's not complicated enough here. We have to make it a little more complicated to understand what the nature of this din is by noticing that this din itself doesn't even seem to be true. This theory of the Ramban, this presentation of the Ramban, that post-Maisa, Amasas are over, seems to be contradicted from a sugya that appears in the 8th and the Mamakamos. It's a sugya, it doesn't appear in the Gemara per se, it's a statement of the Shulchan Aruch, quoting from Rishonim, in your day, Simon Aleph, Sifka Gimel. This used to be a major component of the Smicha curriculum, you know, back in the heyday of Smicha. So Smicha was basically all of Chilik Aleph, your day. You had the Shechita and Trefis and Malicha, Bas Buchalo, Bas Haro. Those are the five basic limudim that anyone want to get Smicha pretty much anywhere in the world had to do. So, you know, as the years went on, they realized that there are less and less Trace of the Shilas. Once Kashrus became so industrialized, it's not like Europe. You know, Europe, 150 years ago, the town rabbi had to know Trefus. Women are coming, bringing them chickens, and they're bringing them. Look at the, you know, they got to look at the stomachs, and they got to look at lungs. It's got to be proficient. All these years have a lot. The no one's bringing the lungs of an animal to look at anymore. So slowly but surely, the Trefus curriculum, you know, got knocked out. I could tell when the shift was because my father, I slap his Yerodea. So his Yerodea still has underlined things in the straight. My Yerodea, right? There's nothing underlined in the straight. Somewhere from the 40s to the 80s, that got lost in the shuffle. So the straight is gone. But when I started speaking, I was in Shechit, why you? So Shechit was still under your requirement. And then after a few years, they realized, no, this is, you know, so Malicha went by the wayside, and Shechit went by the wayside. Hopefully no one's going to decide that also doesn't matter anymore. So the Rabban himself, the Paschal, Bas B'chov and Tarav, chance. So the very beginning of Hilchah Shechita, this was a famous topic that everyone, all the Rashimas would give shir on for days on end, this topic, because it's a lumbishalom to shayel, right smack in the Hilchah Shechita. Goes as follows, the 8th of the Ram comes. Tabach she'osah simen b'rosh ha'keves ha'shochot, a butcher, shechit, was shechting, and he realized that he made a mistake. That he didn't really make a mistake. Means he shechted the animal, opened it up, and he saw the top. There's a problem with the lungs. So he realized that it's a treifa. So what's he gonna do with it? So his initial reaction was throw it to the garbage, get rid of it, get mixed up with the other animals. Problem is, it's worth a lot of money still to the goyim. Still get reimbursed a significant amount of money from the goyim. Not as much as kosher meat, but he still gets some money from the goyim. And the guy's that he had the second, so he doesn't want to throw it away. So he puts it together with all the other pieces of meat. The problem is that by doing so, he's opening up the possibility of getting mixed up. So he makes a simon, makes a mark. He puts a trace mark on it to remind him that not to eat this meat. So we usually put up plumbers on the kosher meat, spend the plumber on the trace meat. Remember that this is the one that he's not supposed to eat. And then sometimes when people came in and a guy walks into the store, wants to buy meat, he says, oh, I see that delicious looking cut of animal. So the guy, that's for John. That's the trade for meat. You don't want to buy that meat. That's trade. And then later in the day, all of a sudden we notice, starts to tell everybody, oh, that meat, great. Let me tell you how good that meat is. So, what's going on here? So l'chora, once he said that the meat is treif, he did what's called the shabia nafshe chaticha disura. He made an edus, he made a statement, he made an emonus that this is treif, this is not kosher. So how in the world is he going to come and tell us another story afterwards? And he explains what the other story is. Let me explain to you why I said what I said. So he explains, you know why I told everybody this morning that the meat was treif? Because I don't want to sell that meat right away. I was holding on to that meat. I get a better price for it later. I don't want to be empty later in the afternoon when other customers come. So he gives you a kunz, gives you a whole shtickle tire from a business perspective as to why he identified that meat as treif. He didn't have a freezer to stick it in dough. He didn't have a place to hold it. That he had to leave it there. But he didn't really want to sell it. He didn't want to buy it. It's basically like that woman who's explaining, well, why did I say I was married? To get the shachar off my back. So why did I say the meat is treif? To get X, Y, Z off my back.
The tremendous chiluk and dvarok. Here he's making a simon on the physical item. She's talking about herself.
Look, that's it. You become the kasha. You motion the kasha on the nose. The That's exactly the kasha about this. You're right. So comes the Shulchan Aruch and says, "Kevan shenasa maslad bar nemon." So says the Shulchan Aruch, he gave it a maslam. So basically, listen to the maslam. Not bad. It's logical. It'll make sense when he explained away what he said. And therefore, the maslam is going to work. So Henry asked the kasha, opening the kasha, meaning your day, what is going on? Bishlama, according to the Tor, who says that a maslam work all the time. Remember, the Tor in Nuchas Nida said, if you say you need that maslam work, if you wear clothing, you need that. Every that maslam always work. You can always backtrack as long as it makes sense. If you give a crazy half baked maslam that basically thinks you're lying, we're not going to accept your maslam. But if your maslam makes sense and it pretty much stands up to the reason, so then there are no limitations on your ability to ask to explain away the maslam. But according to the Ramban, who said the minute that she puts on those clothing, once it's chuskan nida b'shchein oseah, by the loykela, the husband's chay malkus, that's a sure sign that the game is over. You cannot back out under any circumstances. So wait a second. According to the Ramban's theory, that doing an action prevents you from further backing out. Here, he did an action. He put a mark, he put a stamp on, he put a big sign trafe on the head of the sample. So how could he back out? So now we have two kashas. We didn't understand the Ramban conceptually. We don't understand why the Ramban says that there's a limitation of backing out. Now, in addition to not understanding the Ramban internally, we don't understand. Isn't there a contradiction between these two halachas? So the easiest way out is to say, yeah, it's a contradiction. It's not kastira. That this Shulchan Aruch is obviously not following the Ramban. It must be that the Shulchan Aruch must be going in sync with the Torah, that a maslas can be presented even post-action. That would be the easiest answer. The problem is, as the Taz in the ninth of the Marmikomos points out, to the ninth of the Marmikomos, Achash Chasov Tizos, three lines to the bottom. So the Taz was one who raises this question. Wait, why are we quoting this halacha? Isn't against the Rabban? Achash Chasov Tizos, but us with that game motion, the Simon Chav Chav Zayim, the Ramon himself, Shekos Vahatar Ashbeitz, he quotes this din about the Shulchan, and the Simon and the Bamers come from the Rashbeitz. The Zelishonim, the Tzorch Ledakhtek, the Ramon asked this question already. The Simon Chav Behem, they need the love Shabik, they need the Lomani Masla. The Shulchan Aruch himself, the Shulchan Aruch himself in Kuf Pehe quotes the din of the Rabban. Maybe there's a difference between the two. But Tzorach Iyo, not Kalashonim. It's not a very convincing chiluk. Ulay Yesh Lachalik Tzorach Iyo. Ramah says there's got to be some difference. We're not sure what it is. Therefore, the Taz says he doesn't know what to do with the Shulchan Aruch here, and therefore Akei Nirush Ein Lahakam Tzach the Shulchan Aruch Bekan. Actually, Ramah Ahinicha Tzorach Iyo. The Taz says I can't pass it. If this shah would come up in my town, I cannot be making like it says in Shulchan Aruch here, because it's against the Ramban, it's against the Sugya of Ruchas Nida, and we have absolutely no way of knowing what in the world the Shulchan Aruch meant according to these two contradictory halachas. So Ad Kan, in terms of kashers and the Sugya, so the Sugya is not looking very well for us in terms of clarity. We do not understand what the Ramban is talking about. Why there's an arbitrary chiluk between a masla, between Dibros versus Maisim, and even within the world of Maisim, somehow some Maisim, yes, some Maisim, no. What's the difference? Manishtana, Yerdeya, the Cheshchita from Yerdeya Chesni. So we have a lot of confusion in terms of this again.
I mean, what would the Ramban say in the case of, let's say, the woman who said that she's engaged or that she's married, and let's say she puts on a ring or something like that?
That would be similar to this confusion. So is that like Chuk Chanid B'Shchein Oseah? Is that like the Simon with the problem? It would be almost impossible for me to pass that child because I don't understand the fundamental difference between the Huskhanid and the other case. That's the problem. I mean, what is the difference? So there are two approaches, and the Gedolei Acharonim had to solve this dilemma. One of them is taken by the Shach, the other is taken by the Nesivus. The Shach is the simpler of the two, so we'll start that off today. I think we'll finish the Shach's approach today. But the Nesivus's approach is a much more, I don't want to rate Gedolei Acharonim, it's a lumdishim, a little bit more of a complicated approach. But let's start off with the easier of the two, the approach of the Shach. So the Shach in the ninth of the Mamakom was in the Nekudas HaKesef. The Nekudas HaKesef was the Shach's response to the Taz. Just the way the dynamics where the Shulchan Aruch was printed, it was very fascinating dynamics. It's still taking place behind the scenes in the 1500s in Poland. Said that the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah were already published in the early part of the 1500s. And Shach and the Taz were the two Gedolei Olam towards the end of the 1500s, and the 1600s. They were the two Gedolei Olam. So, I mean, there were others also. They were the two of the main poskim in Europe. There's a little bit of a discrepancy between the two. There was about a 40-year age gap between the two. Taz was an older, senior poskim. The Shach was a much younger, coming upstart, so to speak, you know, in the world of Torah. And they were both writing Svarim as Perushim on the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah, but they weren't aware of each other. The communication in Eastern Europe wasn't exactly what it is today. So they took it. It could be they lived 100 miles away from each other. They didn't know who they were. So the Taz is writing his Sefer, the Shach is writing his Sefer, and the two Svarim were published around the same time. And there was machleksim, you know, many issues that they disagreed with, but the Shach didn't say anything against the Taz because he didn't see the Taz as Sefer. So we have two independent Svarim. So now the Shach decided to write almost like a follow-up to his Sefer. So he wrote a critique of certain things in the Taz itself. But his Sefer was already written, so he wrote on the margins. So, but it was a follow-up a little bit. So it was called the Nekudas HaKesef. Why did he call it the Nekudas HaKesef? It's a strange name for a Sefer. It was a play in the Pasuk in Shir HaShirim, because the Pasuk says in Shir HaShirim, Terei Zahav Na'asamach, in the Nekudas HaKesef. So the Taz, the Sefer, was the two resolve. So he said, oh, it says to resolve, because I guess it goes together with the resolve. It was a little bit of a play, it was a little bit of a joke, because the Pasuk Shirashim is to resolve with the tough, and the Taz Sefer was to resolve the test. It's a different word. But the Bakur would read Ture and Torah, have to correct it, it's a totally different word. So the Shach knew that there were different words. It was a joke. He was trying, I thought Eastern Europe was a very, very dreary place in the 1600s. So any jokes that came out of there, you got to just take what you get. I said this several times that I thought that the Taz personally had a sense of humor. That again, you have to know the jokes of the time, but you can tell in the Sefer that every once in a while, Mavish is throwing a joke. Those people don't even catch it. There are two famous lines in the Taz that always come to mind. The Taz has a whole discussion about Pesach night. How come everybody washes urchats? The whole reason for washing urchats is because you're about to eat a wet vegetable. But many people never wash eating vegetables the whole year. Nobody's not so many people are machber. It's a machlekes. What the flies was on is that. So the Taz is critiquing and saying, he said, no, you should wash all year long also. He said, what are you only washing on Pesach night for? And he says, this is his critique. He says, what are you only washing Pesach night? Marishtab alelos evakar alelos. So he was trying to be funny. He was trying to make a lighten things up a little bit. Then there's another Taz in Hilchas Sukkah where he talks about you have to wait before you eat the meal in the Sukkah, the Shri Yetzeres. So Mashal says you have to wait till dark. So the Taz says, because of Titus and Klal Yisrael, why don't you just make the Jewish people fast? It's the end of Chodesh Tishrei. We've been eating nonstop for 3 weeks of Titus and Klal Yisrael. So I thought he was also trying to be a little bit humorous, just light things up a little bit. So over here, the Shach got the humor in because he named the Sefer to attack the Taz, but the name of the Sefer is not really right, but he's trying to say it anyway. So the Taz got the last line in because he wrote a rebuttal to the guy's called the Kutras Acharon. So he was also trying to be, you know, Acharon means it's over, done. This discussion has just come to an end. The Kutras Acharon, it's the end. But I don't think the Shach had a chance to write the rebuttal for that. But if it would have, he probably would have written as follows. It says the Pesuk Navi, Godo Niyah Kvoda Bayis Achron Min Arishon, that the later bias, you know, the later bias will be greater than the first bias. So the Goyim used to. You know, the Middle Ages, they used to always bring this. See, for me, there's only going to be two basic mikdash. That's it. Only two. So you see, there's never going to be another basic mikdash. Only a crown of ice. Achron, this is the last one. That's it. I've got basic mikdash is destroyed. There'll never be another basic mikdash. So the Chazal really was sensitive to this. Chazal said, no. If you look in Tanakh, so the word Achron doesn't mean the last. It means the later. Like it says by Leah, Achronim, Achronim. It says the later, and then it says the later. And then it says in Sefer, in Parsha Shmos, it says that that if they won't listen to the first os, they'll listen to Kol Os Acharon. And if they don't listen to Kol Os Acharon, then they'll listen to the next. You just said it's Acharon. You just said it's over. The answer is, it's like in the shuls. Acharon doesn't mean the last Aliyah. Acharon just means the eighth Aliyah. You have 9, 10, 11, you have Acharon. Just means later. It doesn't mean. In Lashon Kesh, it doesn't. Today, in modern Hebrew, it means the last, but it doesn't really mean that in Tanakh. So it says by the Makas, it says the motion does the paro. If he doesn't listen to the snake, he'll listen to the tzarada, and if not, he'll listen to the kola osa acharon, listen to the blood. So it calls the blood the kola osa acharon. So they say, it says, v'haya hadam lechem osa labatim, that the blood should be, from Pesach, should be a sign on the batim. So they say, derech mashal, the dam will be a proof what the word Acharon means, and will prove to you the pasuk the Navi that says that it will be less than the base of Mikdash is. It's not true. There'll be a third base of Mikdash. But yeah, dam lachem la'os al abatim, that the word Acharon by the Makas will be a proof that the word Acharon by the base of Mikdash also means it's not the end of the story. So the bottom line is there'll be another base of Mikdash. It's Hashem. And when the Shach, when the Taz wrote the Dafa Acharon, he thought he was ending the story, but no doubt the Shach had to say also. But bottom line, back to Esther. So where we are. So we know the introduction from Eastern Europe from the 1600s. So comes the Shach, and it gets to as follows. He says, Kushizu, he says, this question that the Taz had, Kfar Tirza Bach, said the Bach already asked this question. And the Bach already answered this kasha. So the Shach's like turning around to the Taz and saying, what do you ask this kasha for? This is not a new kasha. This is an old kasha from last generation from the Bach. Now, there is also a little bit of a hidden humor in that. It was a shver. The Bach was the Taz's father-in-law. So the Taz married the Bach's daughter. So the Shach is turning to the Taz and saying, "Said you asked me a great kasha. Shver asked the kasha last generation already." Said, "Took a look at the shver says." So what do you say? So the lesh the lashon habach yesh lechale gabi tabach lohoye beefshari beinyan acher as enkin hocha gabi nida efshish tov tpeni loyelubash b'gdeni dos. The Bach and the Shach say a very very simple teretz that, and by giving a teretz they explain what's the issue with ma'isa. Why is ma'isa not nitan? To Amasla. The answer is, there is no reason why. It's not true. It's not that there's a halacha. Once you do an action, you can't back anymore. This is a psychological story. Namely, you're believed to retract as long as you can explain away why you said / did what you did. If you made a statement and now you explain away why you explained that statement, that's fine. If you did a maisa and you can explain away why you did the maisa, that's also okay. But if you did something that doesn't warrant what you did, it doesn't make sense what you did. You did too much. You did above and beyond what's necessary. You can't explain that away. So why did you do what you did? So comes the Bach, comes the Shach, and says as follows. Said, a woman, her goal is to tell her husband, please leave me alone, I don't feel well tonight. So why did she have to spazier around town? I didn't need to swore. What was the point of that? Said, if her whole masla is to say, I didn't feel well last night, therefore I told you I'm a nida. So I understand. So tell your husband, I don't feel well. I'm a nida. Don't say that. That's the whole point. Just want to say. Says, as a marriage stage, I'm a nida. She should just say, finish. I'm a nida. Tomorrow morning, she'll tell her husband I feel better. Why tell the neighbors? Why walk around town advertising? What was the purpose of what you did? You see from here that your intention was not just to tell your husband. Your intention was that you're a nida. Now you want to tell us you changed your mind. You're not a nida. That's ridiculous. You can't do that. But she ain't in the case of the tabach, in the case of the shochi. What's the goal of this butcher? The goal of the butcher is he doesn't want anyone to take the beef by mistake. So he's busy, the butcher's running in, he's rented without mincha, he's running out, he's running in the store. You can't just leave a tray for a piece of meat around and hope that he's going to remember to tell everybody. So he puts a sign on it, stay away. That makes sense. That's logical. That would be the right thing to do if he wants to keep people from buying his meat. So comes the Shach and the Bach, and they say that as long as what you explaining explains properly what you did, and the masla works even against the maisa. So there is no lomdish difference between hilchas kashrus and hilchas nida. There's no lomdish here. It's very simple. Just a matzias. Just ask the following question. Does it make sense what you did? If the answer is yes, then great. If the answer is no, then no. Hopefully that's Shem next week. So we'll see the next approach of Sugya, which is going to open up our eyes to some of these Sugyas and develop them to one as well.
I still think there's a case between Nida and Kashrus, because one, he's making a mark on the secondary item. Shabbos, everybody.